One of the other songs we sang talked about grace of God reaching us. That's a very beautiful song. But it has another message that is important for us. God's grace can get to us no matter where we are. God has done everything to provide for our salvation. And it's ready there and waiting for us to take advantage of it. That doesn't, just because God's prepared it doesn't mean we don't have anything to do in order to achieve salvation. But it does mean that it's there for us. And it's a reminder that God is always close to us. And maybe that's why Scripture tells us there's no way to get away from Him. There's nowhere to run from God. The text that Brother Bill read for us just a moment ago from Amos chapter 9 is a denouncement of the nation of Israel because of their wickedness. They are reminded that they are going to suffer the consequences of their sins. They will be punished for the wickedness they'd engaged in. If you remember the history of Israel, we hadn't quite gotten there in our Bible class yet. We're still in the early parts of the kings of Israel. In fact, we'll be starting with Saul this evening in 1 Samuel chapter 12. But Israel divided. The 10 northern kingdoms went to Jeroboam. The 2 southern kingdoms stayed with Rehoboam, the son or kinship of David, a descendant of Solomon. And when Jeroboam took the Israelites, the northern kingdom, he realized that if he let them keep coming back to Jerusalem, they'd eventually go back to David's family. They'd eventually go right back to where they had been. He would lose his kingdom. And so, rather than listening to God and doing what God told him to do, and that was continue to serve me faithfully and I'll bless you, he set up a couple of idols in his own land, one at Dan and one at Bethel, one at the north end, one at the south end, so that everybody could come and worship there. And he encouraged them all to come and worship there. They had idols there. If I remember right, they were calves, much like what they had seen at Mount Sinai from Aaron. And he said, this is where you come to worship God. And that was the beginning of the downfall of the northern tribes. Amos came to speak against those things. He and others spoke against especially the altar at Bethel. And in this last chapter of the prophecies that Amos spoke, we have this statement from God through Amos that basically says there's nowhere to hide. You can't get away. There are several things from which we cannot get away. First and foremost is God. There is no way to hide from God. Let's go to Psalm 139. I will begin reading through verse 16 of that psalm. The psalmist says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. And verse 17 says, how precious are me, to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Now this psalm approaches this idea from a positive side. And it's the idea of His grace reaches me. It's a song we sang just a few moments ago. No matter where I go, God, I know you're there with me and you will protect me and you will guide me. Even when we read that part about if I go into the darkness, it comes across from the idea of God, when I get caught up in the darkness, you're there to give me light. The darkness does not hide you. You're still there. God is always with us. And that is a positive thing. Or it ought to be. There is nowhere we can go and not find God if we're looking for Him. Because He is there. But then we read the book of Jonah. And we won't read the whole book of Jonah. We know the story of Jonah. But a couple of verses from chapter 1. Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went on board to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea so that the ship threatened to break up. And we know the story. Jonah realized real quick, I can't hide from God. Here we have the story of one who actually tried to hide from God and was unsuccessful. Because God is everywhere. God knows His people inside and out. God knows His creation. From the very depths of the earth into the depths of our minds. God sees and hears. A lot of folks nowadays getting worried about privacy and tracking. God's been tracking humans from the beginning of time. Because He's everywhere. Jeremiah tells us, can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? There's nowhere to go where there is not God. Even when we get ourselves up into the middle of the deepest and darkest sin, God knows. And all we have to do is turn, and He's ready to help us come out of that. And we turn to Him on His terms. Job said, His eyes are on the ways of man, and He sees all his steps. Jeremiah again, my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from me, nor is their iniquity concealed from my eyes. And of course, we know the prophet Jeremiah was sent to warn Judah and Israel. And so that's who he's talking about. No matter who your alliance is with, no matter where you go, I'm there. I know what you're doing. We can't hide from God. There is no creature that is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. There's no way to keep God from knowing what you're doing. There's no way to keep God from being ready to bring you back. There is nothing that anyone can do to keep God from helping you get through the struggles and difficulties of this life. God is always there. And that is both a blessing and a curse, depending on me. And that takes us to the second idea. No matter where you go, there you are. Y'all probably heard that before, right? That's not original with me, by the way. No matter where you go, there you are. You cannot hide from yourself. The song, a phrase of a song, let me put it that way, that's been going through my head ever since I started looking at this lesson and thinking about these things. I want to get away. I think the next phrase is, I want to fly away. But I'm not good on song lyrics sometimes, so I'm not going to say for sure. I know it says, I want to get away. We sometimes would like to get away. And we're not just talking about getting away from all the things going on. Sometimes it would be good to just be able to let go of everything and be away even from ourselves, but we can't do that. There certainly are those in this world, and some of them were Christians at one time, who have decided, I need to get away from here because of what's going on. I've got to get away from here. I can't handle this anymore. And they get away and they find themselves in the exact same situation. And they do this time and time and time again until it finally dawns on them, the problem's not where I'm at. The problem is what I'm carrying around that I can't get rid of. I can't get away from me. Sometimes, depending on what we've been doing in our life, what we really want to do is to get away from me. I know God tells us that when we are forgiven of our sins, they are gone as if they have never been. He holds them against us no more. But those things still live in the crevices and the dark places of our minds sometimes. Every now and then we get in a situation where somebody in our mind shines a flashlight over on them and they glare up in front of us again and they remind us of where we were. We need to understand we're not going to get away from that. It's always going to be there. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 17 we read, I will set my face against you and you shall be struck down before your enemies. Those who hate you shall rule over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no one pursues. But the righteous are bold as a lion. Sometimes we want to run. But we never can run from ourselves. Because whether we like it or not, we have a conscience. Now, I'm well aware the conscience is not our sole guide. It can be an assistance to us. But we also recognize that our conscience is what jumps up and says, hey, maybe you ought to think about that again. Sometimes it's helpful, sometimes it's not. In Genesis 42, verse 21 and 22, they said to one another, in truth, we are guilty concerning our brother in that we saw the distress of his soul when he begged us and we did not listen. That is why this distress has come upon us. Reuben answered them, did I not tell you not to sin against the boy? But you did not listen. So now there comes a reckoning for his blood. They're talking about Joseph. Those 11 sons of Israel and what they had done to their younger brother, Joseph. Well, 10 of them were older than him. They sold him into slavery. They had thought about killing him. Reuben saved him from death, sort of. And now they were standing in a place where they were going to be held accountable. In fact, they were being held accountable for stealing the cup. But what they thought about is here's our punishment for what we did to our brother so long ago. We thought we got away with it, and now it's come back to catch us. You see, that was still on their mind. They still thought about that. And it convicted them in the situation they were in. Here comes a reckoning for his blood, Reuben said. We're going to be held accountable. No way to get away from ourselves. In John chapter 8, we have the story of the woman who supposedly was taken in adultery and brought to Jesus. And in verse 9, after Jesus responded to them, the one without sin cast the first stone. They went away one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. I think it's important that and significant that the Spirit tells us that it began with the older ones. Why? Because they had more sins they knew that they needed to be dealing with. They had more things weighing on their mind. Now, I'm not saying necessarily older people are more sinful than younger people. In fact, it's been my experience that generally they are not. Because they've got the experience to let them know what happens when they do things that are wrong, and so they avoid those things. But even then, they still have all of those things from their past that weighs on their mind. And certainly we cast our cares on Jesus. We give our problems to the Lord. But we can never get away from self. It's always going to be there. We can rejoice that we've been forgiven, but those things are going to be reminders from time to time. In the book of Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, we read, they show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them on that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. Their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. Their conscience bears witness. It's always there. Not only that, we have obligations. We can't get away from ourselves because we have obligations. I know when we were younger and our children were still at home, we were grateful every now and then for the opportunity that one of the grandmothers or somebody offered us to watch the kids for a little while so you can get away by yourself. And we did. We took advantage of that. There's many years my mom kept our kids for a full week and even brought them back to us or even came and picked them up. And it gave us some time away from our children. But as any parent knows, you're thinking about those kids, at least off and on the whole time. How many times have we seen in the TV show the family gets away from their child for a date night, and they've got a trusted friend that's keeping them, and they're both sitting there on their date night eating their meal, and then one of them says, I need to go check on them. Now, the old shows, they went up and went to the payphone. New shows, they pull out their cell phone and start checking the cameras in the house. Why? Because we have obligations, not just with our children. We have obligations to the Lord. We can't get away because we have obligations to fulfill. I'm under obligation, Paul said, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the foolish. Under obligation to what, Paul? To preach the gospel. We studied just this past Wednesday night about how he had care for all the churches. Or maybe it was two Wednesday nights ago we did those passages. The care and concern he had for all the churches and for all the brethren. Because he says, when one of the brethren sins, I also am hurt. We have obligations. We can't get away from our obligations. Anyway, if you think you can get away from your obligations, don't wash any clothes all week long. Just don't wash any clothes all week long. Some of you may have to take 2 weeks before you get it. Some of you may just get 2 or 3 days until you realize what's going on. And then walk into the room where you keep the dirty clothes. Well, we had 4 kids at home, so the pile got big sometimes. Just leave off doing something that you know needs to be done. And then when you walk past it again, you're going to realize, ooh, I had obligations and things I have to do. Now, remember that our spiritual obligations are much more pressing than our laundry obligations. And if there's a pun in there, I'm sorry. Our spiritual obligations are essential. And we're going to be held accountable for them. Each of us, Paul says in Romans 14 and verse 12, will give an account of himself to God. We can't get away from ourselves. We can't get away from death. As it is appointed in Adam, as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15:22. Now we go to Hebrews 9 and verse 27. As it is appointed for man to die once, after that comes the judgment. Or as Paul rendered it in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, therefore just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sin. Everyone will die. In the history of the world, I can tell you of 2 exceptions. I hope some of you already got these in your mind. There was a fellow way early who walked with God and was not, even before the days of Noah. And then there was a guy during the days of the Israelites who was caught up in a fiery chariot and carried away. For the first one, read in Genesis. For the second one, read 1 Kings all the way through the end of Chronicles. You'll find it. They didn't die, but they were separated from this earth. Somebody says, but what about Jesus did die? Death just didn't hold him, and he was raised again. Everyone dies. We don't like to think about it. We are very sorrowful when it happens. But there is no way to get around it. Brings a phrase from another song, still gonna die. No matter. You're gonna die. I'm gonna die. Your favorite child. Your favorite parent. Everybody dies. Can't get away from it. And as we've already seen in at least 2 instances. One in particular, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, after death is judgment. Judgment is as certain as death. The Revelation tells us, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Interesting that some of those phrases he uses about and talks about the dead being given up are some of the same places that the psalmist and others said, when you run here, God still knows you're there. You're not going to escape judgment. It is for everyone. Whether we are at home or away, Paul said to the Corinthians, we make it our aim to please Him, Christ, God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. We die and we're judged. Can't get away. It's going to happen. There's nothing you can do to stop it. If by some bad chance somebody blew up one of them nuclear bombs and it set off all the rest of them and everything in our universe was vaporized, we're dead. You know what happens next? We stand before the judge. You're not going to miss it. If by some chance you're still walking on this earth when the Lord returns at the end of time, you're still going to be separated from earth and you're still going to stand in judgment. Can't get away. So, preacher, why are you telling me all this? Doesn't sound very much fun. I don't like these ideas. I mean, I kind of like the idea that God's always there to help me, but I really don't like that He sees everything I do. Because I might mess up and He might not like it. And I kind of like the fact that I can't ever lose myself, but that means all of me is always there. Not just the fun parts. Well, I like to think about dying. And then judgment. I'll tell you why we said all these things. Because it should affect us. And I don't know for sure. I think it's supposed to be A-F-F-E-C-T when we talk about this kind of effect. That's why we just say we must act. It should have an effect on our hearts and on our minds to know that God is always there and He's going to hold me accountable for what I have done. That all the things that I have done throughout my life are always going to be there. I can't get away from those things. That should cause me to stop and think about what I'm doing and what the consequences of that may be. And the fact that no matter how I live on this earth, I'm still gonna die and then be judged. That ought to make me think, what do I do? Well, I prepare myself. A lot of friends down in South Texas that started watching the radar hourly last week. Because they knew something was coming. They didn't know what was going to be. And we do that every year when hurricane season starts. I mean, he's got the hurricane page bookmarked on there. Yeah. Because you know something's coming. And so you want to be prepared. I suspect long about the middle of last week, or shortly after all of that rain came through Southeast Texas, there was a lot of generators that got fired off to make sure they worked. Because it might get worse. Because they wanted to be prepared. That's why every time there's a snowstorm or an ice storm or chance of a tornado or anything, you go to the grocery store, there's no bread or milk. We prepare. But wouldn't it be a lot better to prepare for judgment? We need to seek after God. Moses told the Israelites as he prepared them for his leaving and their entering into the land of Canaan, from there you will seek the Lord your God and you will find him if you search after him and with all your heart and with all your soul. We need to search after God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. It's the advice the wise man gave to his son. Seek after God. Look to him and hold on to him. Make sure that you are pleasing in his sight, because it's not enough to know God. We have to be ready to be judged by God. And as Paul told those on Mars Hill, and I got it right this time, I don't have it on the screen, but in Acts chapter 17, when he says God wants every man to repent, because he's appointed a day in which he would judge the world. And he showed that by raising the judge from the dead. The judge is Christ. Paul told the Corinthian brethren, we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. We should please Christ because we will stand before Christ in judgment. That's how we should be affected by knowing that God knows everything. I'm going to die and I'm going to be judged. By preparing myself, by being pleasing to Christ. The righteous is one who can be bold as a lion. We don't have to run scared. We can walk directly up to the bench of the judge, knowing with confidence that he will send us to the eternal home with God. If we're righteous, if we live our lives to please him, if we take up our cross daily and follow him, if we come to him and let him help us with our worries and our struggles, and cast our cares upon him, and take his yoke upon me, and learn of him, we can have rest. The righteous can be bold as a lion. We will sow to the Spirit. How do we prepare for things? We get busy doing stuff. Company's coming, we clean up the house. Or at least close all the doors to the kids' room. Storm's coming, we close the windows. Go hide in the closet in the middle of the house. Put on our storm helmets.
taking a trip, pack the car, or truck as the case may be. We prepare.
We get busy.
Paul says, the one that sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one that sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. The farmer keeps planting as long as he can because he wants a harvest. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone and especially to those who are of the household of faith. We sow to the Spirit so that we will reap the Spirit and eternal life. We will prepare for judgment because we know that one day we will stand before that judge, and what we want to hear is, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Rather than depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. By getting ourselves right with God, we remove the power of sin, and the sting of death is sin. We're afraid of death because we don't know what's coming next. But if we belong to the Lord, if we're doing good for God, if we're serving Him according to His will, we don't have to worry about what happens after we die. We're just going home. We're just going home. Because as Paul says, the sting of death is sin. And by getting rid of sin, we remove that sting. John tells us in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, and now little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from Him in shame at His coming. Abide in Him, so that when He comes, we won't be worried. We won't feel the need to hide. We can stand proud and walk joyously into the abode that has been prepared from the very beginning of time for those who love Him and who serve Him diligently. The fact that I can't hide from God, I can't hide from myself, I can't hide from death, and I can't hide from judgment. There's nowhere to run. It tells me I need to be ready. I need to know that God sees everything that I do. And He's going to hold me to it. I need to know that no matter how I live my life, it's always going to be with me. And I'm going to be held accountable. I need to remember that I'm only here for a short while. Even if we look at the difference between John's life and the time that we think the world has been here, John's just a little bit of time short. In fact, just almost nothing that would be noticed. I mean, if you've got, I'll quit picking on John, pick on me. If you've got $10,000 worth of pennies, and then you've got 57 pennies, right up in the midst of those, are you going to be able to pick them out? You won't notice. $10,000 worth of pennies and 57 wheat pennies. You won't even notice that. You see, our life is insignificant in relation to time. It's short.
a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. The question is, are you prepared? If I remember the title of the song, Is Your Heart Right with God? Because that's the only way you can know that you will come through those things victorious. If your heart's not right, get it right. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that He died on Calvary's cross to pay the price for the sins of mankind? Have you taken advantage of that belief? Have you confessed your belief in Jesus as the Savior? Have you turned from serving yourself or serving the world and begun to live for God? Have you submitted yourself to your Savior as Lord by being obedient to His will? Confessing Him, confessing your wrongs to God. You can turn and be baptized to have your sins washed away by the blood of Christ. Be right in God's sight. If you've done that in the past and you look this morning and find yourself in your life, then you know God's not going to let you in heaven. Confess your sin to Him and ask Him to forgive. John tells us if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Certainly it means we have to turn away from Him. He's not going to forgive us of something that we keep doing. If you look this morning and find you're not right with God, it's time to get right. And if we can help, opportunity is yours to come. Always stand and sing.